Well, hello, here we are with another broadcast. We're talking about how to survive in the age of apostasy. Stay tuned for our program. We've been studying in this little book of Jude, and we're looking here in verse number 11, where it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." Now, we've looked at Cain, and we left off. We were talking about Balaam. We want to say a few more things about him on this program. We said last broadcast that Balak wanted the best soothsayer he could get his hands on, and he knew exactly who and what Balaam was, although God's people sometimes don't. Luke 16, verse 8, tells us that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Well, Balaam was a soothsayer who was for sale, and Balak knew that, even though God's people didn't. And we read in Deuteronomy 23, verse 4, "They hired against thee Balaam." And then Nehemiah said, "They hired Balaam against thee." And 2 Peter 2:15 says, "Balaam loved the wages of reward." The reward of divination, verse 7, tells us that they came to Balaam with the reward of divination in their hand. The Hebrew word for divination is translated witchcraft in 1 Samuel 15, verse number 23. Well, Balaam eagerly entertained the big shots who knocked on his door. Balaam, we read, loved the wages of the unrighteous. Therefore, we read, "And he said unto them, Lodge here this night." Now, God commands his people today, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," that is the doctrine of Christ, "receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Well, we've seen enough of Balak to know that he was partaker of their evil deeds. Now, if there come any, one has to wonder what part of any is too difficult to understand. The difference between the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of Christ is very, very obvious. Well, birds of a feather flock together. Verse 9 said, "And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee?" This is one of those questions recorded in the Bible that God knew the answer to, like Genesis 3, 9, when God asked Adam, "Where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to figure out where he was. He gave Adam an opportunity to confess his sin, is what he did there. Now notice, he did not ask, "Who are these men?" God did not ask Balaam who they were. He said, "What are they?" You can tell what a person is really like by who he or she allows to be their friends. Well, God in his mercy was showing Balaam what he really was. He was giving him an opportunity to confess what he was and what he wasn't. However, like Judas, Balaam remained on his determined course to his doom, which the Bible says in Jude 1:13 was the blackness of darkness forever. Now, these men that were with Balaam were against God, and so was Balaam. The phrase "with thee" is found 15 times in the book of Numbers. All but one deals with God's people who they were with, and one deals with Balaam and who he was with. Now, Balaam ignored God's question concerning what those men were, and in his stupidity, he thought he would bring God up to date concerning Balak's problems, if you can read it through verses 10 and 11. In verse 12, we read, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went back," another 400-mile trip, "and said, Balaam refuses to come with us." Well, King Balak had been waiting for an answer for about 2 months. However, he was not about to give up on hiring this famous soothsayer, and Balaam obviously had no interest whatsoever in the will of God. He was simply using this situation as a negotiating tool to get more money from Balak, because he loved the wages of unrighteousness, 2 Peter 2:15. Well, the negotiation continues in verses 15 through verses 17, where we read, "And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they, and they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse this people." Now we have a very risky response by Balaam. He says in verse 18, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Now again, Balaam is not the least bit interested in the will of God. He is simply enjoying playing the money game with Balak. Balaam realized that Moab was sore afraid, and they were distressed, verse 3, because the people came out of Egypt, were coming close to their borders, and the king thought they were going to attack. That is why we read Balaam said, "Now therefore I pray thee, tarry ye here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." What do you think? You're going to get him to change his mind? Even Balak wasn't that stupid. Well, we see here the mercy of God. It is only by the mercy of God that God deals with Balaam at all. However, like Balaam's New Testament counterpart, Judas Iscariot, Balaam ignores all of God's mercy and continues with his focus on finances. John 12:6 tells us that Judas was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now, we see God's response to Balaam. It's interesting. In verse 20, it says, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." Well, first we realize that Balaam did not get God to change his mind. We got to understand that. Verse 21 says God's anger was kindled because he went. God was simply giving Balaam another chance to make a right decision. Balaam was not only interested in continuing his negotiations with Balak, he heard only what he wanted to hear. God said, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them." We read nothing of them coming to call Balaam that morning. All Balaam heard was what he wanted to hear, which was, "Rise up and go with them." Well, in verse 21, Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now, Balaam was in his glory as they left town with these high officials from Moab. Remember, Pethor, the city, was a hotbed of soothsayers, and Balaam was chosen among them all. If this was happening in our day, the cameras from CNN would be reporting the story of these princes and Balaam leaving town, and Balaam saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Well, what do we read? Verse 22, God's anger was kindled. We read, "And the God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him." Now, from this point on, the Lord's dealings with Balaam changed. God had warned, saying, "My spirit shall not always strive with man," Genesis 6:3. Balaam had crossed the line. God's anger was kindled to the point that he was ready to kill Balaam. And in verse 33, the Lord said, "Unless she," that is Balaam's donkey, "had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." No doubt Balaam was embarrassed as he lost control of his donkey before these high officials from Moab. They were probably laughing at him, wondering how Balaam could possibly defeat the nation of Israel since he couldn't even control his little donkey. Well, the story of Balaam's donkey is recorded between verses 22 and 31. And in verse 31, we find Balaam flat on his face. The Lord tells Balaam that his way was perverse before him. Now, the perverse, to be perverse, is to show a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unacceptable in spite of the consequences. To be obstinate is to be stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action in spite of attempts to persuade one to do so. That is the Lord's description of Balaam. Keep in mind that Balaam talked like a fundamentalist. However, the Lord saw him as he really was. And 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Well, in verse 34, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Well, Balaam and Judas Iscariot both said, "I have sinned." However, neither one of them were forgiven. What a lesson is recorded here. We seem to think that we can live the way we want to live, and when we are ready, God is surely going to be standing there patiently waiting to forgive. One other person in the New Testament said, "I have sinned," and that was a person who was forgiven, and he is referred to as the prodigal son, which was in the wrong place, and he knew it. And unlike Balaam and unlike Judas, he repented and was forgiven. You will find that story in Luke chapter 15. Well, Balaam and Judas had both crossed the line. At some point, they grieved the Holy Spirit once too often, and their fate was doomed. Let us be warned that from that point, their lives would serve only as a bad example. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "These things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." God was not interested in Balaam's prayer to get out of trouble. Balaam says, "If it displease thee, I will get me back again." Our prayers to get out of trouble or to stay out of hell do not impress God. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, verse number 3. Well, from this point on, Balaam becomes God's puppet. Like Pharaoh, Herod, and others in the Word of God, Balaam was about to become another one of God's puppets to teach a lesson to those who would be willing to learn. That is the reason the Lord said, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak, verse 35. Now, God spoke through Balaam's donkey. From now on, he will speak through Balaam. From this point on in the story, God will speak through Balaam just as he had done with his donkey. Chapter 1:28 tells us, "The Lord opened the mouth of the ass," and now we read, "The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth," chapter 23 and verse number 5. In chapter 23 and 12, we read, "And he," Balaam, "answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth?" Chapter 23:16, "And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth." Chapter 23:26, "And all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do." All that fundamental talk coming out of Balaam was what God had put in this puppet's mouth. Balaam must have been more embarrassed now than he was when God was speaking through his donkey. Now, Balaam's solution is found in verse 14 that he has for Balak's problem. And he said this to Balak, "And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee," that word is translated counsel thee 25 times, "I will counsel thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days." And Balaam counseled Balak, and as a result, we read in Numbers 31 and 16, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit a trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." Psalm 106:28 tells us, "They joined themselves unto Baal Peor. They ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague broke upon them. And then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed." So we see here that the result of Balaam's counsel was, first of all, they joined. Balaam advised Balak not to fight Israel, but to get Israel to mingle with them. After all, Moab was related to Israel through Lot, and Moab was not following the ways of God. However, they were family, then they knew the plan was just to forget their differences and to get together. What was God's reaction to that? "And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." In Numbers 25:3, Moses said unto the judges of Israel, "Slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor." The second thing was that they did was they ate. God's people began to feed on what Moab had to offer. And the third thing, it says, "Thus they provoked provoked him to anger with their inventions. The word translated inventions has been translated doings 35 times. Well, never in the history of the local church have we been so enticed to compromise the truths of Scripture and join with those who are guilty of spiritual fornication. Well, that in itself is the pathway to apostasy, and that is what Jude is talking about when he said they went after the error of Balaam.